Good morning. Good morning. It's wonderful to see that some of you guys ventured out in the snow, and it's great to have the rest of you joining us online this morning. Before we continue in our series on fresh starts, I want to just, I think we need to recognize and just have a quick time of prayer. This last week, again, in the wonderful town of Annville, North Annville, we had a very tragic situation come to light. So 6 months ago, if you recall, we heard about this boy, Max Schellenberger, who there were accusations of horrific abuse that took place to the point where this child died. This last week, we heard of two parents that have been charged now with the abuse of 5 adopted children. And as you have probably seen in the news, just horrific things that took place, the accusations of horrific things taking place in that household, in that basement. And I think it would just be very appropriate for us to be praying for these dear children, for this family, in the days, the weeks, the months, the years ahead. But I wanted to do that corporately this morning as we gather together as well. So I invite you to just join me in praying. Heavenly Father, sometimes we come to places in life where we don't even know exactly what to say. And Lord God, this is probably one of those times where there's just such evil that sometimes comes to surface. And we trust that you are there. We trust, Lord God, that you are present and that you are walking with each one of us through life, with people through life. But we know that sin is a part of this world as well. So Heavenly Father, where these allegations have come forward this last week, we just lift up and pray for the Duncan family. Lord God, we would pray that truth would come to light. Heavenly Father, we would pray that healing takes place in the lives of each person that has been hurt. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would show us as individuals, show us as the church, not just Fairland, but the church as a whole, how we can walk with love and support people that go through tragedies like this. Lord God, we pray that you do what only you can do, and that you would bring somehow some bits and pieces of comfort and peace into the lives of these 5 children. Lord God, we trust that you will do just that. And we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. As we get started, I want to ask you this question. And the question is simply this, and then we're going to get back to this question at the very end. So I will remind you of the question at the end. But as we get started, here's the question. What would you do with a fresh start or a new beginning if you had one? What would you do with a fresh start if you had one? If you could begin again today, if you had a clean slate starting today, what would you do with it? The last weeks we've been talking about do-overs or fresh starts, the last 4 weeks now, including this week. In Genesis chapter 1, we saw the beginning of everything that took place, right? It was the beginning of the universe, the creation. And we see in that the power, the planning, and the product of God. And then in Genesis chapter 3, we saw the misleading character of sin and the harmful consequences of sin and the godly covering that is there for us in regards to sin. And even though Adam and Eve blew it, God covered them with his grace and gave them, guess what? A fresh start. Not long after, as we continue in the book of Genesis, Genesis 6 through 9, we find the story of the flood. The flood story many of us are very familiar with. Remember, human wickedness had reached a new climax in the world at that point in time. Every inclination of their heart was only evil all the time, Scripture tells us. But even then, God wouldn't give up on us completely. He kept Noah and his family safe on the ark. And then he placed his rainbow in the sky as a symbol of God's patience, of God's promises, and of the peace that God offers to us. All of humanity had a clean slate at that moment, a fresh start, a second chance to get things right. But what did they do with their clean slate? What would you do with a fresh start if you had one? I want us to check out Genesis 11. Remember, God gave Noah and his family this fresh start, and here we see how the next generation used that fresh start. So Genesis chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 1 and read the first 9 verses. It says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, 'If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other.' So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth." And that's where we'll stop today. This construction project that we read about in Genesis chapter 11, that's what it is. It's a construction project that was taking place. It's got to go down in history as one of the most epic failures ever. Its story has been told and retold dozens and dozens of times to different cultures all around the world. So I want us to look this morning and see what we can learn from their mistakes. First thing is this. I want us to look at their motive. Let's take a look at their, number one, a motive. The Bible doesn't give us a very deep look into the motivations of the people here, but a lot of ancient commentaries have chimed in on the subject. Some writing and historians say that the people built the tower in order to ascend into the heavens. Some even go further, saying that the people not only wanted to ascend into the heaven, but wanted to pierce it. That is, to wage war against heaven and God. Whatever the ultimate goal was, I think the motive is summed up in one simple word: pride. Pride. Right? If we go back to the passage that we just read in verse 4, it says, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens." And then here's the point, right? "So that we may make a name for ourselves." Pride. Their motivation had nothing to do with honoring God. Their motivation had everything to do with building themselves up. Pride was pushing them in this project. Psychotherapist Naomi Resenblatt says this: "Every generation builds its own towers." She's right. Whether these are actual skyscrapers, physical buildings that are built, Is there the Sears Tower in Chicago or the Eiffel Tower in Paris? The Empire State Building in New York? Or they might look a little bit different than that. They might be mega corporations that circle the globe. The idea is the same. We will make for ourselves a name. The Bible warns us against this kind of an attitude. I know some of you remember what Scripture says about pride in the book of Proverbs, right? It says, pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. I'll leave this to each of you to figure out if it's a real illustration that I'm about to share with you or not. I think you can figure it out for yourselves. But the point of the illustration is well made. Story goes of a pond where there were two ducks and a frog who were neighbors. They lived together, coincided together in this pond. They played together all day, every day long during the summertime. But as the cold drew near, the water dried up and the ducks realized that they would have to move on. This would be easy for them, but what about their friend the frog, they thought. Finally, it was decided that they would simply take a stick in between their two bills of each duck, and then the frog would hang onto the stick with its mouth as they would fly him to another pond. Do we think it's true? I'm probably guessing on the side of not, but... And so they did this. The two ducks have the stick in between their bills, and the frog is hanging onto it with its mouth, and they take off and they start flying, and a farmer and his wife happen to see this. And the farmer says, "What a great idea. I wonder who thought of that." And proudly the frog said, "I did." Illustrating, pride goes before the fall. We shouldn't take the opportunities that God gives us and use them to glorify ourselves. Instead, we should glorify God in all that we do with our lives. He's the only one that can truly make your name great anyways. He promised to do that very thing for Abraham, right? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." I'm going to make you something, is what God is saying there. Today, nobody knows the name of a single person who helped construct the Tower of Babel. Yet the name of Abraham is instantly recognized all around the world. There's a vast difference between mankind's "we will make our name great" and God's "I will make your name great." Let's use the opportunities that we have in life to glorify God rather than ourselves. I want us to shift gears here as we're looking at this and talk about the resources that they had, that they used. The tower was built at Babel. It was probably one known as a ziggurat. It was the type of tower that was built. Archaeologists have excavated several of these large structures over the years, which were primarily used for religious purposes. A ziggurat was like a pyramid, except the successive levels were recessed into it so that you could walk to the top of it on steps. And then at the top was usually some sort of a shrine that was dedicated to some god or goddess. Like any building project, before they could build this tall tower, they needed the proper materials. And we read earlier in Genesis chapters, or 11, verse 3, chapter 11, verse 3, they said to each other, come, let us make oven-fired bricks, one version says. They used brick for instead of stone and asphalt for mortar. And with those oven-fired bricks and mortar, they planned to build a tower that reaches to the heavens. They just kept stacking brick upon brick, but no matter how high their tower reached, it would never be enough. And sadly, some people live their lives like this. A story is told about Malcolm Forbes. He and a group of people from his motorcycle club toured through Egypt in 1984. And after viewing the impressive burial tomb of King Tut, Forbes seemed to be in kind of a reflective mood, it said. As they were returning to the hotel in a shuttle bus, Forbes turned to one of his associates and asked with all sincerity, do you think I will be remembered after I die? Forbes is remembered. He's remembered as the man who coined the phrase, he who dies with the most toys wins. That was the wisdom of Malcolm Forbes. In fact, that was his ambition in life. That's why he collected scores of motorcycles. That's why he owned castles and hot air balloons and countless other toys that he could no longer access. Because you can't take it with you when you die. Pastor and author Bob Russell told a story about a rich man who was determined that he was going to take his wealth with him. And he had come up with a plan as to exactly how that was going to take place. He told his wife to get all of his money together and to put it in a sack and to hang that sack from the rafters in the attic. And his plan was simply this. When my spirit is caught up into heaven, I'm going to heaven, I will grab the sack on my way. Well, he eventually died. And the wife raced to the attic, only to find that the money was still there. She snagged the sack down, and she said, I knew I should have put this in the basement. It'll click in a minute or so. Jesus warns us not to put our hopes in material things, the sack of money in our attics. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 through 21, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus made it clear that having the wrong treasures leads to our hearts being in the wrong places. Rather than stacking brick upon brick in material possessions, we need to be investing in heaven by doing God's work and building his kingdom with our spiritual bricks that we have to offer. Martin Luther once said, I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all, but whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. Those are some pretty powerful words and pretty insightful words. I have held many things in my hands and lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. So when God gives us a clean slate, a fresh start, let's use it to store up treasures in heaven rather than building castles in the sand. The last thing I want us to look at or talk about as we are looking at this passage in Genesis chapter 11 is dealing with the mess. Dealing with the mess. Babel's conceited, let's go up, was answered by heaven's calm, let's go down, right? God said, come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages, because they were going to go up. And then they won't be able to understand each other anymore, he goes on to say. And in so doing, everything fell apart. Construction came to a halt in that moment. Their plans were completely foiled. In the end, they were forced to fan out into small groups that could actually understand each other in different parts of the world. They begrudgingly surrendered to God's plans. And thus the world was populated with diverse new cultures and civilizations. Even though God made a mess out of things, he also showed great mercy in what he did. By confusing their language and scattering them all over the earth, God graciously spared their lives and gave them yet another fresh start. This story goes to show us that sometimes God has to destroy something in order to build something that's better. That's easy for us to understand a lot of times when you think about cleaning out a room in your house or cleaning out your garage, right? Sometimes before your basement can be cleaned up really well and you get it in the order that you want it in, it gets a whole lot worse before it gets better. It's a part of that process. You begin to unbox everything and look through everything and sort everything, and it just becomes chaos. Sometimes God has to destroy something before he can make something better. London businessman Lindsay Clegg told the story of a warehouse property that he was selling. The building had been empty for 2 months and needed, and he knew this, needed all kinds of repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors and smashed the windows and thrown trash all throughout the interior, spray painted stuff on the walls. As he showed the prospective buyer the property, Clegg took pains to say that he would replace the broken windows, that he would change out the doors and make sure the spray painting was off of the walls. He would make sure that everything was structurally sound, and he would make sure it was cleaned up, all the garbage and trash was out of the building. Forget about the repairs, the buyer said. When I buy this place, I'm going to take this place, and I'm going to completely bulldoze it down and build a new place. All I want is the site, was the buyer's response. Compared with the renovation God has in mind for our lives, our efforts to improve our own lives are as trivial as fixing up a warehouse before the wrecking ball comes in. When we become gods, Scripture tells us the old life is over, right? We celebrated that here last week. As we had these lids off and we did baptistry, and we had four wonderful people that were baptized because the old life was over. They made a commitment to Jesus Christ and a new life has begun. The old life is over. He makes all things new. All he wants is the site and the permission to build. This type of fresh start is common in construction and in the construction world. And maybe some of you have seen some of this. I think it's kind of impressive. If it's still snowing this afternoon, you're looking for something to do and you don't want to watch a 6-hour Super Bowl opening stuff, YouTube demolition videos of controlled implosions. It's kind of fun to watch those things go down, right? So buildings, a lot of times, when they have big, huge towers that need to come down and they want the site for something that's better, they will set up explosives. And they do this. There's actually engineers that do this. There's a method to it. It's not just one big bomb at the bottom and the whole thing goes up. But there's a method to doing this so that it implodes. It all goes inside, makes as little mess as possible. It's going to be a big mess. It's a huge building. But it's done in a controlled manner, right? There was a building, two towers, that stood in Springfield, Illinois in 2013. They stood there for years before that, decades before that. But those two twin buildings,
high rises were scheduled to come down by implosion. I want us to watch the video of them coming down. We might have to dim the lights on the stage a little bit. So a little bit of destruction took place because a site was needed to build something new, something bigger, something better, right? The interesting thing about this is you see that the one tower goes down. The other tower to the left actually stayed up for another 8 hours, they said, before they finally had that one come down. It was a surprise to everybody because it didn't collapse right away. The same explosives were used, the same everything was done to the buildings. But this one building was just stubborn and clung on to life for 8 more hours before finally giving it up. I think some of us have buildings like that in our lives. Structures that we just stubbornly hold on to. God wants to clear those buildings out of the way so that he can build something better in their place. If you're living in rebellion to God today, maybe you've been resisting his leadership in your life, or maybe you're clinging on to some sort of secret sin, he'll give you a second chance. He'll give you a fresh start. I hope that you've heard that over these last 4 weeks. That's why our God is so incredible, because he's a God of second chances. God of new starts, fresh starts, new beginnings. He'll give it to you. That's his promise to you. But if you keep on rebelling, don't be surprised when God starts blowing stuff up. He will mess with our lives. He will frustrate our plans until we finally surrender our will and accept his leadership. I believe that wholeheartedly. Then and only then, when we've surrendered to his leadership, will you really be able to experience a fresh start. So back at the very beginning of our time together this morning, I asked you, what would you do with a fresh start if you had one? Whatever your answer may be, let's try to learn from the people of Babel's mistakes. We have a lot to learn from them. Let's build our towers from the right motivation, seeking God's glory instead of our own. Let's work with the right material, storing up treasures in heaven rather than on earth. Let's try to avoid the mess that they got themselves into by surrendering our will to him and doing things God's way. He'll get our attention if he needs to. He'll implode what needs to be imploded in our lives. Let's do things God's way. Maybe you're in the middle of your own mess right now. And maybe you could really use a fresh start. God is ready to give you one. All you have to do is ask. Ask for his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, and you can begin again today. I know, because I have conversations with people frequently, that sometimes we just feel like we've messed up in our journeys with Christ. We feel like we've made decisions that we knew weren't in line with God's will or desire for our lives. And we feel guilt about that. Sometimes there's consequences we see instantly about that. Sometimes those consequences don't seem to exist. Sometimes it's the guilt that we feel, I think, that might be the consequence for those kind of things that take place in our lives. But if you're with us this morning, you're here in the worship center, you're at home, and you're at a place right now where you need a fresh start, you need to get things right with God, I encourage you to do that today. Don't wait a moment longer. It's all over Scripture that God wants to give you those fresh starts. You got to ask for it. If there's something you need forgiven for, you got to ask for forgiveness. If there's something you need His grace and mercy for, you got to ask for His grace and mercy. Pastor Dustin can't do it for you. I can do it for me. I can't do it for you. So if that's where you're at this morning, I encourage you, just pray along with me here at the end of our time together. And ask God for that fresh start. Heavenly Father, we come to you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time to be in your word and to study your word. Lord God, we do thank you so much that you are a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness, a God of do-overs and fresh starts. Heavenly Father, I would pray for those that are worshiping with us this morning and there is something going on in their lives. They know that there is something between them and their relationship with you that is hindering it from being all that it can be. I pray, Lord God, that you would bless them with a fresh start today if that's what they seek and ask for. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as they seek and ask for that, that you would give them the courage to do what needs to be done, the boldness to take next steps. Heavenly Father, we know that you want what is absolutely best for our lives. You want us to live full and rich lives in you. Help us to make decisions that will allow that to happen. Help us to live our lives according to your word and your plan. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.